At that time, Jesus revealed himself to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over to the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it, and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out of onto the shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish, even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized that it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. Good morning. Peace be with you. Thank you. So, are you all in? That is the question in the gospel. Are we going to stay in the boat of our securities and our lives? Or are we willing to step onto the shore of that true discipleship to follow the risen Lord? It's amazing when we look at the readings today, when we hear in the Acts of the Apostles and what we see in the gospel, the difference in the disciples. Those who were trying to go back to the familiarity of their life before Jesus in fear of what he was asking them to do, to these men who were standing before the Sanhedrin, who stood before the Roman Empire and said, "No, we will not stop professing his name because we must obey God and what he's asked us to do." And the difference between the two scenes is two things. First, it was that they finally would come to understand what the resurrection from the dead meant. They had to first understand who this Jesus, this risen Christ, really was and what it would mean for them. And how that was truly the good news. That he not only forgave our sins through his death, but promises us life. And secondly, through that, being disposed to receive the Holy Spirit. And that is the transformation that in the Easter season we are challenged with as well. We go through the whole Lenten process, right? And most of us are pretty proud of ourselves in keeping those disciplines and losing, 15 pounds. But then when it comes to Easter, we kind of forget why we were doing all that work. It was so to free us from holding on to the safety of our boat and to be able to step out on that shore to be those true disciples. And I'm sure every one of you has your story, or maybe you're still working on that story. Maybe you are still trying to figure out how to move forward. Because Christ, when he challenges us with a new call, or challenges us in the same call that we had, but in a different way, Are we willing to move forward, or do we cower back to what is most comfortable? My story is one I shared with you, I'm sure, at some point in the last 17 years, but nevertheless, when I entered into the seminary, I was overwhelmed with the reality that I was having 4 more years of education. I had just promised myself when I finished college, I would never open a book again. Thus, I knew it was God's will for me to be there, but I was overwhelmed with this reality that I was going to become something different. And I wasn't ready for that. So I cowered back into my boat, my place of security. And it was pretty easy to do for me because the first friends that I met in the seminary, all great guys, but the first ones I met were 6'6", 6'7", 6'5", 6'4", and a couple little short guys. So my boat was playing basketball. So we would play after class. We'd go over to the gym and we'd play 3 hours of basketball every single day because that's what I was comfortable with. Until I had a spiritual direction appointment with Father Fay, and when I went to his office, he was sitting in his office, and he had this real stern look on his face, and I'm thinking, the naive person I was, I'm like, I wonder who was in here last. Put him in this mood for me. And I sat down, and he looked at me, and he said, Bishop Kinnear, who was our bishop at the time, he said, Bishop Kinnear did not send you to Mount St. Mary's Seminary as a basketball camp. And he was right. And that was my challenge to move out of that boat and into the shore and stand where Christ would call me to follow him. Our gospel story is a beautiful one because it's how tender Jesus' love is for us, right? He's already appeared to them twice. They already went out and saved Thomas from his sin last week. But now they're still unsure what to do. So Peter says, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to what I know how to do. Well, at least he thought he knew how to. And everybody joined him. And then there was that moment of deja vu, I'm sure, as soon as they began fishing all night and nothing was going their way. And then they hear Jesus say, cast your net on the right side, see what you find. And at that moment, when John says to Peter, it's the Lord, Peter realized, I'm not a fisherman anymore. That's my past life. And what he does is beautiful. He jumps out of the boat in the water and runs to the shore. And the theologians say that is like Peter's baptism. He jumps into the waters of his own baptism to meet the risen Lord on the shore. And that's how we make that journey as well. So what should be our mission in this third Sunday of the Easter season? I think first we should take time to really look at those resurrection stories, because do we really understand what it means for Jesus to rise from the dead? Aren't we not much more comfortable with the good shepherd who kind of helps us stay in our boat and move through life? But when we meet him and we encounter him, then whatever challenge he asks us, whatever change of life he desires for us, he will ask us to be true disciples. He will give us the gifts of the Holy Spirit to do so. Also, secondly, I think we need to continue to examine where Christ is calling us and leave go the safety nets and the safety of our past comfort zone. And it's only when we come out of that comfort zone that we find what he's asking us to do, whether it is a change in the way we live our lives or a vocation, health issues, a death of loved ones, whatever it might be. When we see that it's so difficult, we want to hide from it, that's when he really wants us to shine. To be like those apostles in the Acts who say, we can't stop doing this because we figured it out. The risen Christ means we're going to live forever. The risen Christ promised he'd be with us forever. We have the Holy Spirit, and there's nothing you can do to stop us. For even death, they are not afraid. So when you come forward to receive our Lord in the Eucharist, as always, remember, it was his sacrifice that allowed him to become the Lamb and the bread of life to feed us on our journey. Thank him for the gift of your faith today when you receive him. And ask him to help you to discover him as the risen Christ. And ask for those gifts of the Holy Spirit to be able to jump out of the boat and find yourself on the shore of true discipleship. And I promise I'll continue to try to do the same. So I took Father Faye's words to heart, and I no longer played 3 hours of basketball after class. We cut it down to two. And as time went on, of course, we played less and less because we did get more and more involved and busy with what we were becoming and forgetting about what we were. But the ironic thing, the whole story, my favorite part of the story, is that when I was ordained, Bishop Canera, I was the last one he ordained. And when he called me for my assignment, he told me that he would send me to St. Agnes in North Huntington, which I had no idea where that was. And he said, "I'm sending you there because they have the best basketball gym in the diocese."